Yeah, I'm sorry for that. I was trying to change my Wi-Fi and it took longer than expected. So yeah, I will start again, and if I break it, let me know. So my the talk is gonna be on as I understand God part. And yeah, it is the second part of step three, and it was very huge struggle for me to get and understand that part and get the spiritual awakening around it. So step three read as made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood God. But for a long time in my recovery, what I read was made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God after completely overthinking and analyzing the God. So before coming to Coda, I was a very much overthinker, a worrier, and yeah, just constantly in my head. And I actually thought that is my character defect. I didn't actually thought that is my character defect. I always thought that, you know, this is my superpower, that I am smarter than other people and, you know, I can think a lot and, you know, just read a lot, and other people are maybe too simple-minded for me. And I was living in that grandiosity and that ego of being a pseudo-intellectual. So I did hear a speaker, and he was saying that he was a bizarrely trained intellectual, and I could relate to that. I was also a bizarrely trained intellectual who just get all the good grades and was an A student, and I had this addiction of binge reading self-help books and, you know, trying to understand everything. For example, my therapist said this to me, that I am trying to make sense of everything because in my childhood things didn't make sense. And that actually helped me a lot, because I remember I kept reading about like marriage between narcissist and codependent and all the books around that, because my parents' marriage was and is like that. So yeah, trying to read books and having an understanding of all the self-help and all the dysfunction and drama, and reading literature around relationships and psychology and attachment styles, all of that stuff was like a big addiction for me, and also a big thing which made me grandiose and which made me very egoistical. And I thought that if I can read about it, and if I can think about it, I will heal myself. You know, like, I can think my way out of each problem and read my way out of each problem. And whatever comes up, I just have to Google it and read everything which is online, and then it will be fixed. So yeah, I was approaching life as a Rubik's Cube. Just read about it, YouTube about it, and then move on. And as a result, I was a very much procrastinator as well. I am a thinker, not a doer. I just keep getting stuck and rigid and heavy and passive in life. Like from last year, I have been trying to think about, should I change my job or not? And other people have already prepared and given interview and updated resume and changed their job. So yeah, I am. But also I tried to have safety for my system. My system doesn't like change, and it gives me a lot of panic to change anything in my life. So yeah, I'm trying to do big changes slowly. But again, it's better for me to think and plan about the change than to actually do it. Like, for example, if I'm going on a 2-day trip, I would plan and pack for it for 7 days. Approximately, and organizing my closet and, you know, like watching all the packing videos and packing vlogs and, you know, like ordering small bottles to keep my shampoo and conditioner. And then I would think, oh, maybe trip was not that fun as much as I was planning around it. So yeah, planning and thinking about it has been a big part of my life. So when I came to Coda and when I first read step 3 and step 2 actually, I thought that I have to find a very intelligent higher power. Because, you know, if people ask me in meetings, I should sound cool. And, you know, I should sound like I'm a scientific person and not like this stupid spiritual people. So, and I was drawing up Excels. I was writing different higher powers and what are the pros and cons of having each as a higher power. And then, you know, because I have to sound cool, right? Like, if I can't just say that my higher power is this, which is very simple. So yeah, I was going into thinking that time could be my higher power or space could be my higher power because, you know, space-time bullshit would make me sound fancy, I guess. So yeah, I was looking into that and I did say, when I was a newcomer in some meetings, I did say that time is my higher power and people were actually impressed with me. So yeah, my codependent self did achieve what it was trying to do. And also I have maybe read a lot and heard from people that since I am a science student and engineering professional, you know, I should not believe in God because how as a scientist I can believe in something which doesn't have any mathematical proof and, you know, yeah, sounding intelligent was a big part for my ego and that was blocking my surrender, my pseudo-intelligence and my pseudo-understanding of God. So yeah, I did start Coda and I did start recovery and I initially kept Coda as my higher power, the program, because I knew it worked for other people and I wanted to be like other people. So yeah, I began my program and it was helping. I was actually seeing the results and I was feeling happy and it was 6 months in Coda till March and April of last year and everything was going good. Second thing which I also felt like, let's say even if there was a God and I was very intellectually offended by the word God, even if there was that double quote G-O-D God, why would God be interested in me, right? Like God would be in charge of all the plants and animals and trees and fruits and insects, you know, like why would I be like top 100 even in the priority list, right? Like if this population is 7 billion and so on, I don't think God has time for me because I'm just this one human being also, which is not good enough. And now when I see back in my recovery, my parents actually didn't have time for me. And maybe I am trying to assign my parents' traits to my God traits. So yeah, now I do sometimes feel that God is too busy for me and I have to, you know, work hard to get God's attention because so many people in the world would be competing for God's attention. But yeah, now in recovery, I can see that I have my own personal God, you know, like a God which is just assigned to take my care and give me all attention. So why did I end up like that? I would like to go a bit in my childhood. So my father actually hated stupidity a lot and being smart was very important for him and my mom was actually stupid according to him. So she would get shamed a lot if she can't do anything right and if she doesn't know anything or if she's asking any questions. So we were a family of 4 in my childhood home, me, my father, my mother and my younger brother who is 4 years younger than me. And it always felt like anything we did was not right for my father. And, you know, asking questions was not allowed and saying I don't know was not allowed and just giving the wrong answer was not allowed because, you know, how can you be stupid? And actually my father was kind of my hero. Like, I wanted his attention, even though I had all my mother's attention and she was a very good parent, but you know, I wanted my father's attention. And he was workaholic. He is a workaholic. He would be reading books all the time. And you know, yeah, he worked hard, which is a good thing. And he provided for us. But yes, he was always obsessed with getting another degree and doing another course and doing another promotion, or you know, just doing that online training. And the only way to get his attention was to study hard whole year, get the good report card, and then he would, you know, look at me and say, very good. So yeah, good, being intelligent was very important for my safety. And also he was my hero, you know, I wanted to be like him. I wanted to read all the books, and he had that grandiosity around him, you know, all the office people respected him, and you know, he was cool, and all our relatives asked him for help and advice, and I wanted to be like that. And since my father always said that my mom is stupid, I as a child judged her, and I thought, yes, she is a stupid woman, and you know, she is always making my father angry and she is always irritating him. So yeah, I'm sorry, mom, but I as a child thought that ending up like my mom would be the worst thing, and you know, and being like my father would be the best thing. And it was like my mom was actually raising me alone. Like, she was doing everything for me and my brother. And yeah, now I'm proud that I am like my mom. Like, I have curly hair and she also has curly hair, and we actually have same skin color as well. So it's good that I have some parts from my mom. But yeah, impressing my dad was a very big deal for my mom, my brother and me, everyone. Like, just to give an incident, and like in during some Diwali, which was like a festival here, we actually light candles at a crossroad, like the roads where four roads meet. I don't know what's it called. It's called Churaha in Hindi. And my mom just asked that is a Churaha? Can we light candles there? And my dad just shouted, and we were in a public place. He just shouted that, how can you be so stupid? You know, like, how do you not know? And yeah, I was very scared. I was very scared by that. Or when I was a child, my dad took all of us, and he was teaching my mom how to drive. And this was her first time on the driver's seat. And of course, she made a mistake and got the car in the mud. And again, he yelled at her that why she would never be able to learn driving again. And, you know, she should not have made that mistake. And I remember, like, he also tried to teach me how to drive a two-wheeler. And of course, when I had to press the brake, I actually pressed that escalator because, yeah, I was first time driving it, and I panicked and we fell down. And, yeah, I was injured as well, but my father said that that was very stupid of me and I should practice more. And, yeah, I'm still very afraid to drive anything, a car or two-wheeler. And I remember as a child, I just never learned anything new, you know, or I never tried anything new. I was just reading books and comics, and reading was an escape for me, like Harry Potter and all those stuff. Like, I just didn't want to be in the reality, and going into books was actually my safety, and it saved me until it became an addiction. But yes, it saved me when it needed to save me. And yeah, so yeah, learning new things was also very difficult, since looking stupid was very difficult, and being at a new place, trying a new thing was also very difficult, because anything that makes you look less than super intelligent was not allowed and was very unsafe. Also, I had this notion that something is wrong with me. And that began my journey into reading self-help books and fixing myself, and reading another book and fixing myself again, and until I ran out of all the books and I ran out of different therapists and nothing else was working. And that's, it's like they say that 12-step programs are always the last door for people when they have knocked on each door and it hasn't worked. So yeah, it was true for me. I tried fixing myself in every other way first, through therapy and through psychology. And yeah, I'm not trying to diss on psychiatrists and psychology. They are good. But for me, my disease was spiritual and my depression was a spiritual depression, not a clinical depression. And codependency could have some symptoms which are like, my codependency has anxiety, which actually can be treated with medicine, but the codependency itself is a spiritual disease. Yeah, therapy also helped me until I found a therapist who was spiritual and who understood that psycho-spiritual kind of recovery. But yeah, going into therapy, which totally intellectual and disorder kind of diagnosis and totally labeling and, you know, totally thinking mental disease as a chemical reaction was actually wasted a lot of my years. But thankfully I came into CODA. Of course, I read codependency word in a book and that's why I came to CODA. Another big character defect, character weakness for me due to my thinking a lot was also my feeling a less. Like, because I was so busy thinking and being in my mind that I was actually not feeling anything. And I didn't know. Like, I have heard about dissociation and I thought that doesn't relate to me. Because, you know, my body is active, so why would I be out of my body? But yes, until recently I realized that I don't feel, because like sometimes my therapist would ask me, how are you? And I wouldn't know. And sometimes I wouldn't know if I'm hungry or thirsty, or, you know, when I'm making a decision, do I like A better or do I like B better? Like, I can't immediately catch that feeling sometimes. So it's like if something would happen to me, if someone said something rude, instead of feeling bad about it, I would go into why am I feeling bad, what part of my brain is feeling bad, why do humans feel bad, and why is it affecting me, and am I being too sensitive, or is it because of my childhood, and go all Freudian on it, like, it just something bad happened and I need to cry over it, but I could not. I would think about being sad instead of being sad. And that prevented me from my feelings and my pain and looking at myself for many years. So of course, when I came to CODA and my sponsor, and I was working with my sponsor and I read the step 3. So I read it as made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God after I have completely understood and analyzed God. So this was the part 1 of my share. And how was I? If someone would like to share and ask questions, and then we can move to section 2 and section 3. Let's open it for 5 minutes, I guess. Karja, thank you. Ray, and then Sophie.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Ray. I'm a codependent. Thank you so much, Raima. Thank you so, so much for your share. I've been in CODA for, well, like 3 years, but I've never heard anyone share explaining how the escapism is just to escape towards being in the intellect completely, that you don't get in touch with your feelings. And I remember the first time my therapist asked me about where do I feel. So she's like, what kind of feelings do you know? And I was so oblivious to these things because I'm always in my head, like you described. That when she said, where do you feel something? I thought she's talking about which room or where, somewhere. And she pointed to my body and I'm like, no, I know that I'm angry. I didn't even know that you feel feelings in your body. And this is where, how messed up things were for me. And absolutely, I've lived in my head and I was a thinker, not a doer. And I need to analyze everything, even when it comes to God. The question came to me in around 7 years ago. And, it took me 3 years. I went into a proper research. I had to study evolution and look if it's 100% right. And why do they call it the theory? If it's a theory, then it's not a fact. Then what did it? And it took so long. And then I had to read Bible, the Torah, and looked into the Quran. And I, and still, and well, luckily, and thank God, you know, I created a concept of God of my own understanding, but I had to do the due diligence. And another thing you said about the fear of trying anything. The fear of trying anything. I remember in university, a friend of mine, and she was a good friend, and she always thought that I don't speak French because I always said, no, I don't speak because I am so scared of speaking it and making a mistake. And only when I was drunk one day, the next day, which I didn't remember, she said, dude, you speak French fluently. And just so. But what that tells me is like the fear of making a mistake. And because for me, the fear of making a mistake, when I make a mistake and I say something wrong, and that's mainly the mistake of saying something wrong, I go into shame, and shame is related to a lot of trauma, and it's painful. So that makes me not want to try anything, because I don't want to make a mistake. And also a lack of attention from parents completely, and shame. And the thing about quickly, I'll finish. The thing about shame is like what I understand. There's guilt, and there's shame. Guilt is I've made a mistake, but shame is more like I am a mistake, and that's it. Just overwhelms one's ability to just perform anything actually and be anything. And I'm gonna leave it at that so somebody else can share. Thank you so much. Beautiful share. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take Sophie, Lynn and Sean, and yeah, then I will continue with my story.
Hi, I'm Sophie, codependent. Thank you so much for your share. I really identify. It's not so much a question, but just want to share my identification. And this is the first time I've spoken on this workshop, and I just felt inspired to do so. So yeah, I just want to say thank you. Just so much identification. So I grew up with a lot of mixed messages from my mum, which I used to feel so confused because she'd say one thing and I would do it. And then when I did it, I would get shamed for doing it. So I always felt confused, which is why I loved maths, because it was just right. You know, there was no mixed messages with it. And I found that my career is now very like, that's what I've kind of progressed with, like mathematical, anything that just is, I just really love. So yeah, I just really relate with that. And also what came up in my step four is behaviors have I displayed with my higher power? And I felt like with my mum, I was constantly fighting for her attention I just wanted her to see and hear me. And she's just not available to do that. And that is how I've treated my higher power. It's almost like I have to fight to get this like sort of God connection. And I've kind of just given up and surrendered, and I'm at peace with it now. So I just wanted to share my reflections. And yeah, just thank you so much. I really appreciated listening today. Thank you.
Thank you. Lynn?
Lorraine, codependent. Thank you, Mahima, for your story and all the service you've been doing today. You said that I had to write this down. You said your therapist said, I'm trying to make sense of everything because as a child, I couldn't make sense of anything. And that resonated with me so much and actually explained so much to me about what I have been doing like my whole life. When I went to college, I was going for psychology because I was trying to figure out my family. I wanted to figure out what was wrong with my family, trying to figure everything out. And then I've been in the CODA program 5 months yesterday now actually, but 5 months. And that's what I've been doing. I've been so focused on researching all of this stuff for codependence and just trying to work on how to fix myself. And I just thank you so much for sharing your story. It helped me a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynch Fionn. I'm sorry if I got your name.
It's okay. Hi, my name is Sean. Grateful recovering codependent. Thank you very much, Mahima, for your share. I've been listening to these CODA speakers meeting for the almost the whole day since about almost 11 hours now, and this is the only time I have been able to share. I've listening to your story, I realize, although I knew it for a long, long time, that I did also make my dad, my father, my higher power. He, just like you, Mahima, he was abusive to my mom, and my mom was the codependent and addict also. She was a gambler. She's a gambler who took care of things at home. Being in recovery for almost 2 years now, sometimes I want to be my higher power. I want to be God, and although it has been drumbeated in my head many times by my higher power that he runs the show, that I don't run the show, that it his will is more powerful than my will. And for longest time also I wanted to do this intellectually, but apparently this is a spiritual program. And sometimes if I insist on using my brain, it doesn't get me anywhere. I too am very, very poor in my emotions, in identifying my emotions. But one thing that I've learned in the program is to trust my higher power and just to let it go. Let go of all my fears, let go of all my anger and whatever resentment that I have inside me. Whenever I feel bad about something, I do know that I just have to let it go and let my higher power take care of it. So thanks. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. We will have time for more shares. And we will take it later and I will continue with my presentation now. Yeah. So what happened and how did I come into the spiritual awakening was during last year, March and April, during second wave of pandemic in India, and which was very bad. And everybody was dying and there were so much horrible news that we are running out of woods to do the fun funeral and we are running out for spaces in funeral. And, and at that time it was like, there should be a reason for it, right? Like, there should be a book on it and there should be some news or, Wikipedia on it. And I actually did a read a lot about the 1920 pandemic. But yeah, it was not making sense that, a virus can come and just everyone will die. And my mother's brother died and lot of her relatives and family of my therapist died. And actually, I didn't want to go back to my home, to my parents' home during the pandemic. And then I was I was new to setting boundaries and I was, you know, getting into that pink cloud of recovery and yay, I'm in CODA and I can say no now. And, you know, so I just told my parents that I will do whatever I want and, you know, I won't come and meet you. And like I set the boundaries, but maybe too violently and not gracefully enough. And of course, it was first time my parents were hearing no from me and they were used to me being a good girl. So yeah, my father and my mother in anger, they just said that, you know, we will never talk to you again. They are talking to me now. But at that time, you have broken the family and you are being too much rebel and, you know, and it, giving you birth was a mistake and all those messages. And yeah, abandonment was, of course, a big fear of me. And that was like seeing abandonment firsthand. And why? You know, why would that happen? Why would my mom say that? My mom talks a lot and listens to a lot of religious videos around unconditional love. And, you know, like family is the biggest thing and mom's love is the biggest love. And how can she just say that? So all my... the support system up until now in my life has been to understand everything. And now things were just not making sense. And there was like, there was no scientific theory around the pandemic and second wave and, you know, so many people being hit by that and my parents kicking me out of the family. So yeah, that was the time when I just broke down. Like I woke up one morning and I thought I am fine, but I realized I could not think anymore. Like, you know, my mind is not working and I cannot operate my phone and I have just forgotten how to make tea. And, you know, I'm just going into the kitchen and standing blankly, and being intelligent was like my thing, you know. Always as a child, my teachers were like, Mahima is the intelligent student of the class. And, you know, my parents were like, she's a bit lazy, she's a bit slow, but she's intelligent. You know, like being called intelligent and smart was my safety blanket. And, you know, it was what I thought protected me from all my shame. And here I was not able to think, being completely stupid person. And, you know, my job is also like a coding and techie job. And I just could not connect it. I would open a file and then open second file and forget what I was doing in the first file. Yeah, I was scared that I would get fired. I was scared that, you know, I was living alone at that time. I was scared that I would, you know, just forget how to cook or how to eat. And, you know, like, yeah, so all that grandiosity I had that, you know, I am smart and other people are stupid and, you know, I'm better or worse than everyone else just faded away. You know, like, it was not beautiful. It was not that recovery is happening. And it was just like I am on my knees and I was confused. You know, like I'm going to CODA meetings. I'm meeting my sponsor. So why is it happening to me? You know, if I'm reading everything and if I'm answering all the questions correctly, then nothing wrong will happen, right? And yeah, also, it was also the time of my step 6 and 7. And I actually did ask my higher power to take my procrastination and grandiosity away. And I think maybe my higher power was trying to do that. Maybe my higher power was like, let me take your thinking away and see how you live for some weeks. And me, I don't know. Maybe higher power doesn't work like that. Maybe higher power always loves. But yeah, my other sponsor has said that it is not mental breakdown, it is mental breakthrough. And you know, like, and I have also heard in a speaker meeting that there is a very little difference between breakdown and surrender. And I think that was like my grand surrender. It didn't happen in the way I wanted it to happen, but yeah, that time I was just crying. I was in bed and I was like, God, now I was not offended by the word God, you know, because yeah, that whatever my mind can think is good enough. And God word is simple, you know. I didn't have the mental capacities at that time to think about the time and space and nature and music. I just had the word God, and I just asked that, I'm sorry, I'm not smart, and I'm sorry other people are not stupid, but give me my brain back. I did consult some psychiatrist, and I did try to go on medication, but yeah, it was weird. Like, it was, medication was not helping, but it helped other people. So maybe higher power, I don't know. Maybe it was just a bad doctor, or maybe it's a higher power thing. Yeah, another thing for me is that I am not trying to find a reason in everything. You know, I used to be like, there's something behind everything, and everything happens for a reason. And, you know, my brain didn't have that capacity that I could figure out why is it happening and what it is happening, and, you know, what's the grand universe scheme behind whatever is happening with me. So it just happened. But yeah, at that time I didn't have any option to chill out. Like, just my therapist said that, please don't read anymore. Please don't go into any psychology thinking, and please just rest. So yeah, that was the time I had to give up my thinking, for the lack of better word, my analyzing and my going into whys, and I just had to live by intuition, you know, like, I just feel hungry, so let me eat. It was not around that, why am I hungry and what time is it, and if I eat now, would I be not hungry for lunch, and blah, 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 whatever I do. And I just had to do my office work however I can, how much I can, and, you know, not think about what my manager is thinking about me, and if is it good enough, or should I sit in a meeting in a different way to look more cool, you know, like all those crappy bullshit I think about. So my brain was like, my body was like, I give up, you know. And I was actually telling my therapist that I have been an anxious person all my life. Why? But it never affected my cognition, right? I was always a hyper person, but I was able to make myself work. And she said, make myself work? What kind of relationship do you have with yourself? Is it like you dominate yourself and make yourself do things? And I was like, yes, you know, like, I make myself do this and I make myself do that. And I am just a bossy bitch kind of person to myself. So yeah, I just had to respect myself. I had to respect my body, because I didn't want any other organ to stop working. So I had to rest. I had to just do whatever my body could do, and, you know, give up on super reading, and give up on trying to read and read about pandemic, so that just me reading about pandemic would solve it. I was actually feeling guilty that I did not develop the vaccine, you know, during that time. I thought I would just read about all the medical science and develop a vaccine, and then just save the whole world, and then everything will be fine, because, you know, everything can be solved if I read and think enough. But I got over my guilt. Other people have, doctors are very smart, and they have made a vaccine for us, so I can just use that guilt-free. So yeah, that was the time of my spiritual awakening, that I just can't know everything, or, you know, I can't understand everything and just prove everything. Sometimes I would just have to let things be, and I do not know the reason behind them. You know, like, pandemic happened, and I don't know why it happened. And maybe some people are like that, and I don't have to go into Freudian of them. Like, I was always analyzing my boyfriend, that he is emotionally unavailable because his mother didn't love him, and if I love him, I will save him. And, you know, I was just this self-proclaimed pseudo-therapist. And I don't have any license or professional training. I just thought I read all the books so I can diagnose other people and then, you know, fix their childhood if I just love them. But it doesn't work like that. You need to have a professional certificate and the other person is actually be willing to come to you for therapy. That's when it works. So now being a therapist in my mind and just diagnosing other people in my head actually doesn't fix people, and I also learned it the hard way. Yeah, so I gave up, and I even told my therapist that now I won't go into why something is there. I won't go into inner child because I needed a brain break. You know, I won't go into childhood and, you know, my father said this and my mother said this and that's why I'm like this. I just want to look at present. You know, this is what is happening and how can I do things better, you know. And my higher power is like that. My higher power is more about intuition and present and not all the Freudian and childhood. And I do get the trauma approach of healing and sometimes it works. But because my intellectualization is my addiction, so reading books and going all that, things were not working for me. So now I take a simple approach to my recovery, that my God is a simple thing. My God does not care if I know science or psychology or, you know, if I have read that book. My God just miraculously, and it is not stupid, you know, like my God is intelligent. My God is not stupid, and through some miracle, my God lets me know what I need. And I don't understand God completely. Now I will go into what I am now, the third section, and then we can open for sharing. So I can't understand God completely, and that's the good thing, right? Like, it's good because I am not God. And I think that's the part of my healthy shame developing, that I am a human being and I am limited in my knowledge and my brain juice. And God is the unlimited. God is the great intelligence and God knows things. Even if there is a reason behind everything and, you know, there is no such thing as random, then God knows it. God knows the reason. God knows the scientific formula or the proof or the, I don't know, evolutionary theory, Big Bang theory, I don't know, whatever, like, why are we here and all those spiritual questions. I don't have to understand everything to be happy. And I trust God, you know, like, for me, another recovery pattern is now I can just take direction and do things. Like, if my sponsor or higher power has asked me to do something, I'll just do it. Earlier, I would just question, like, why is she making me do this and why is my therapist trying to do this and what kind of thing is my therapist trying to do on me and, you know, all that self-defense. But yeah, now I let people work on me. I just do what my sponsor has told me to do. And yeah, and my higher power and other people, if they have given me direction. And most of the time, other people are right, you know, like, other people are not stupid and I'm not smarter. I'm just equal. And most of the times people know their shit, even if they have read less than me or something. Another thing which has helped me is I started doing a meditation, which was like to sit in silence and notice your distractions, that are they thoughts or are they feelings? And the first time I did that, everything was a thought. And sometimes there would be a feeling and I wouldn't know that it is a feeling. I just thought that it is a thought, you know. Or even if a feeling comes, it would bring so many thoughts with it that, yeah, now I try to think less and feel more. And yeah, hungry, being hungry is a feeling. Being sad and tired is a feeling. I don't have to think why am I hungry and why am I sad. I can just feel it and my higher power will let me know my need and I can just fulfill that need, not analyzing it. And also, for me, like other people, it is like now I have more empathy for my mom. And I don't judge people that, you know, this one is stupid. I mean, everyone make mistakes. And that has actually made, like, I am learning cooking now and I am learning gardening now. And I am making mistakes. But, yeah, sometimes I do get a shame fever that I am so stupid because I burned something. But, you know, I am allowed to be stupid. And it's okay being stupid. And being stupid is not the end of the world. And so I feel lighter. I let go. And, yeah. I think everyone is as smart as me. So yeah, this was the big awakening. And the biggest thing, like when I tried to listen to my body, I just realized that all those things I have done after reading tens of books and doing hundreds of exercise, my body was telling me exactly that. You know, like I don't know how it works, but I do believe now that intuition and, you know, just that gut feeling is intelligent. You know, like it doesn't have to be all logical and, you know, all cognitive. Like if my gut feels that this person is unsafe and wrong, my gut is smart. My gut has the data and it has done all that processing. I don't have to, you know, go into that person's biodata and childhood to make sure that whatever my gut has told me is right or wrong, you know. Or like I did actually go into dietitian and nutritionist videos and make all the diet charts and, you know, and just thought that I would count vitamins, minerals and, you know, everything in every food and then make my eating schedule. And what the schedule came up was actually what was craving to eat. So my body has a way of telling me if I am craving fruits, I do need vitamins. And if I'm craving eggs, I do need proteins and all. And like I did go into my career cells, like I did consults, many career counselors and did this personality quizzes and, you know, and it came out that I would be good psychologist and I would be good artist or good, you know, like drawing person. And I wanted to draw, you know, like after doing all that, after spending all money on career counselors and, you know, just try analyze my brain and tell me what my natural inclination is. I just knew it. So I'm learning like that gut feeling I have. And yeah, I recently made a decision based on the gut feeling. I changed my house. Because my previous house didn't have any ventilation and it was just an unhealthy space. And now I am living in a good sunlight and I have grown my plants. And I was getting that feeling for so long that I need to change my house. I need to change my house. But I was always analyzing, you know, maybe I should look at all the houses in the market. And, you know, what if I lose this one and never find anything again? And what if it's not that bad? And, you know, do I really need sunlight? Am I fooling myself in just gaslighting myself? And my body was telling me that it needs a good, better breathing space. And I just trusted it. I was just like, I asked my higher power. I gave my notice in my current flat. I found a new one and it is actually much better. So yeah, just trying to take more decisions with the vibe. With just the feel, like when I was looking at new places also, I just went with the one which felt right. I mean, I could draw up Excels again on rent and space and location and everything, but you know, this home just felt higher power-ish, you know. So yeah, now I try to live my life more by what feels like higher power-ish and what doesn't feel like higher power-ish. And the last point, then I will wrap up. So this intellectualization was also connected to my black and white thinking, my distortion, like, you know, either something is or something is not. And I always thought like that, you know, either I am smart or I am stupid. Either I am a codependent or not. I do have anxiety or depression or I not. And my therapist told me that there are things in the spectrum, you know, like, There, I can be 40% codependent today and 50% codependent tomorrow and 30% codependent day after tomorrow. And maybe I am 50% anxious and 10% depressed. And maybe other people are also, you know, they occur on a spectrum. You know, things can be in the... And that has helped me a lot. You know, it's not like if I'm not doing everything correctly, then I'm not working good enough. Like, I haven't attended any meetings, so I'm bad program worker. It's not like that. Sometimes I do 10% step work. Sometimes it's zero and sometimes it's 50%. So thinking about life in spectrum, advantages on it has helped me instead of thinking it like, you know, maybe I'm some days 50% smart and 50% stupid and that's okay, you know, that's a good deal. So I don't have to be this super smart person who knows everything in the world, you know, I can just know some percentage of something and, you know, so that has, yeah, that has helped me get over all that labeling and diagnosing and thinking. And yeah, I will wrap up my share and we have 15 minutes, so it's open to any questions or comments or reflection. Thank you. Sarah?
Hi, Mahima. Yes, my name is Sarah, and this is, I'm just in awe because I've just related to you so much during your share, and I want to thank you for your share. This is my maybe second or third CODA meeting, and you're my first speaker, and I'm just kind of sitting here amazed because I'm thinking that you're like your thoughts and just how you approach everything is, I mean, just like me. And I'm like that poor girl. But I'm amazed. It's amazing to me that you were able to surrender. And it kind of gives me hope that, you know, maybe I can too, but I can't imagine. I'm 52 years old and I've always like intellectualized my feelings and lived in my head and not been able to feel feelings and all that, you know, everything that you described. And so, you know, of course I know just enough to know that, you know, doing it on my own and like the, you know, the science and everything behind it, like I know how these pathways have been reinforced over the years. And so I think, man, there's not a lot of hope for me, and I need, what it's going to need is, I guess, my higher power. It's going to need grace from a higher power because I know that I can't do it on my own. And just to say real quick, my dad's a professor. He was my hero, and, you know, our relationship was, it was kind of like me and him, not me and him against my mom, but in a way, it was, I don't know, I have a lot of work to do on that. But, and one other thing is I used to have on my little square there in Zoom, it used to say in parentheses, there's no figuring it out. And so I thought maybe you might appreciate that. I had it on there for the past couple of days, but yeah, usually it says there's no figuring it out. So anyway, thanks again. And you're really inspired. Would you be available for outreach?
I would just say it on so that it gets recorded. My email ID is mahima.coda.outreach@gmail.com. mahima.coda.outreach@gmail.com. Yeah, feel free to mail me if you want. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe you can put your address in the chat later.
Yeah, sure, I will. Thank you. And I also want to mention that I have not done the surrender perfectly, and I have not given up intellectualization completely. It's just some days it's 10% surrender, some days it's 50%, and you know, that's okay. I don't look at intellectualization as a disease or, you know, character defect. I mean, it saved me in my childhood and I needed it and I got good grades. So yeah, I mean, I'm grateful. Like, I'm grateful for my codependency as well. Like, I'm grateful for all the coping mechanisms, and yeah, I'm not trying to fix them. I just rely on them sometimes and rely on higher power sometimes. Different days have different percentages. Yeah. Thank you. Susan?
Susan, covering codependent. I just wanted to say thank you so much for your lovely, humble share. I was smiling and I was listening intently, and it was just so lovely to hear your story of where you've come along. And I've been in CODA for a year now. I celebrated my first birthday on the 23rd of June, and it's just so amazing to have this global support and to have this community of people where I can get into a meeting at any time. So listening to this conference has just been so wonderful in terms of hearing different points of views. And for me, it's like whether you're in India or South Africa or the States, I feel like I have a lot in common with a lot of people. So thank you for allowing me to share. I'll pass.
Thank you. David?
Hello, I'm David. I'm codependent. And thank you, Mahima, for reminding me that I don't have to understand God. I just have to understand I'm not God. Namaste.
Thank
you. Kathy? Hi, I'm Kathy. I'm codependent. Thanks, Mahima, for the share. I personally got so much out of it. There were some great reminders there. I also used to be so black and white in my thinking. And something very interesting, I've also been in CODA for a while, is I realized that, my family's thinking is completely black and white. And something that's recently come, you know, to home to me, which is also quite a beautiful thing, is for years and years, I really believed that some form of healing could take place on their side, meaning that they could or they would consider recovery or something at some point, and they never, ever, ever have. And so what's very liberating for me is that, and which I see you doing so well, is that I have to be the one to come from a place of all those things. I can't fall into repeating patterns and behaving the way they do. Or just because they're reacting, I must react. Or just because they're in a huff, I must be in a huff. Or just because they're giving me the silent treatment, I must give them. And kind of recently, I have fallen into a bit of a pattern of behaving the way they do. So I think this program is really teaching me and the inner work to realize that it's not about that anymore. I'm also a 51-year-old woman. So it's about the way I choose to live my life, the way I choose to embrace what I want to, who I want to, et cetera, et cetera. And that's become so clear to me, whereas perhaps in the past I was acting reactively and mirroring patterns, and also not, also going to the extreme where I was so determined not to, I was going too much the other way. So yeah, I can also relate to the father who's distracted and intellectual and accomplished and kind of, you know, often was late to fetch me at school or came to pony shows, and then I would do everything to try and impress him and be the the best horse jumper and everything, and he had to leave early or we came late, and I'd be looking for him every 2 minutes. So, and certainly that's a pattern I've repeated with men. You know, we've been drawn to the mysterious, distracted kind of man, and I had to work very hard at changing those patterns. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you. Lots of reminders. The grays are so much better than the black and whites. I can truly say I do the grays so much better nowadays than the black and white thinking. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kathy. Ellie?
Hi, I hope everyone can hear me. My internet is being a little dodgy, but I just want to thank you, Mahima, for sharing your story. It's really, I'm in awe of your ability to share and be honest and vulnerable in that way. And I'm fairly new to CODA, but I definitely would love to continue listening to other people's stories. So it was really inspiring to hear that. I identify with you on so many things. It's so relatable, especially just when you spoke about self-help books and the addiction to self-help books. You know, I'd had a period where I fell into this hole of self-help books, and instead of using it as a way to help myself, it just became another tool for me to punish myself and have these expectations of not being able to measure up to another thing in my life. And you think, like me and us, we who have been treated badly our entire lives, we would prioritize caring for ourselves for the rest of our lives. It would be the most simple thing to do, but it becomes hard because of all of these complicated feelings. And I guess the one thing that I draw from this is the striving towards simplicity, which is like, do I deserve peace and happiness? Yes, I do. It's a simple question. It's a simple answer. And I am still in my process of discovering what higher power means to me. But if it's something that takes away that type of control from me, then I need that. And that feels simple. And yeah, I just want to use that as a way to simplify, not overanalyze, not go into analysis paralysis, and just kind of strive towards that type of thinking. Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Terry. And yeah, I did read and contribute to the Wikipedia page of analysis paralysis. I am expert in that, I think. I'm sorry if I get it wrong. Shatadi? Shatadi?
Oh, hi, thank you. Thank you so much, Mahima, for your share. I related a lot to your share, especially the being trying by all means to think about everything, that I put thought to everything. I think literally about everything, and it has disabled me in a lot of ways, getting things done, doing anything. I spend a lot of time too in my mind. And thank you for making me aware, because your share really made me aware that the reason I feel like I'm not living is because indeed I'm not living. I'm living in my head more than I'm actually living presently. I haven't been present. I am fairly new, because I haven't done my step work yet, to CODA. This just gave me motivation, and it opened my eyes further. And it's making me realize that I need to let go and let live. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sorry, and time.
Hello, can I speak now? Okay, I wasn't sure if you could hear me.
I could relate a lot to her story regarding intellectual and academic achievement. Me and my sisters were never good enough for my dad. So the next thing you did was I had to perform on another level. So we weren't even beautiful to him. So we had to show somewhere else that you are worthwhile. And then you turned yourself to academics and intellect and achievements and being not stupid. That was the main goal, not being stupid. And then at some point I realized when someone said I was stupid or someone was just giving an inkling of thought that I was stupid, that would be a trigger to me. And that was bad. And then I thought I did not make the connection like I made it this morning when she spoke, that it's not that I'm stupid and I have to pretend. It's actually me still making my dad my God. I don't need to prove to no one my intellectual capacity. And when I do that, I'm in my ego state. And I think I needed to hear that this morning. And it was a great share and I enjoyed it. And I'm growing and that I'm grateful for. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for all your shares. And I actually, like my sponsor, who would be the next presenter, when she told me that my higher power is always the thing I currently need in my day. And yeah, now instead of going into space-time Einstein theory, like if I'm doing my office work, then that work is my higher power and I need to give 100% to it. If I'm cooking, then yeah, just the present moment is my higher power and it keeps changing every hour and that's also okay. So yeah, I don't know what my higher power is, but I just feel that connection sometimes and yeah, that was very helpful to know. Does anyone have anything else to speak or I will hand it over to the host, Katya? Okay, I think we can wrap this up now. Kaja, you want to take over? Oh, sorry, Pujan, you want to take over?
Thank you, Mahima, for your shares. And thanks, everyone, for your shares. Would someone read the promises, please?